As I mentioned before, we'd like to look this afternoon at what we as church understand about prayer as the Lord has taught us in His Word. And so let's read together what we as church has summarized about the teaching of Scripture on the topic of prayer from Lord's Day 45, the Heidelberg Catechism. And we'll read that Lord's Day together. Question 116 asks, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed Himself in His Word for all that He has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. And third, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And what is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Following the sermon, we'll sing together from hymn 42. Well, dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to learn how to do something well, then you would go to an expert. You know, if I wanted to learn maybe karate or kung fu, I'd first try and find someone who had their black belt, someone who would know what they're talking about. As human beings, we do this all the time, don't we? We gravitate to those people who we think will know something that we want to know. And it's not surprising then that in Luke 11, verse 1, which we read together, that there's this disciple, this follower of Jesus, who asks the Lord Jesus to teach him how to pray. And that's not surprising because Jesus prayed a lot. Luke tells us in chapter 5 of his gospel that Jesus would often leave the crowds and he would go by himself to pray and spend sometimes the entire evening in prayer. And so this disciple really couldn't ask for a better teacher on the topic of prayer. But it's interesting, if we think about it, isn't it, that this disciple would want to know how to pray. I mean, he's a follower of Jesus. Surely one of the basic things about being a follower of Jesus is that you'd know how to pray. But praying, it's a lot harder than it sounds. And I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves here this afternoon, that can also be our experience as well. You know, it's hard sometimes to make time to pray. It's hard sometimes to find the right words. It's even hard sometimes to be sincere in what we're praying. And that's why it's so important for us as God's people to go back to His Word and to learn together what God Himself teaches us about prayer. And what better place for us to do this than with the words of our Lord Jesus Himself. And so let's look a little more closely at what Jesus teaches here in Matthew and Luke about prayer. And this afternoon we want to be learning to pray our Lord's way. There's three questions about prayer that we want to ask, three questions that I came across in my reading and preparing for this. And the first one is, why are we to pray? And secondly, how are we to pray? And finally, what are we to pray? And so this first question we want to ask about prayer is why? Why do we pray? Well, you know, the answer is actually simple. It's one of those one-word answers. We pray because of Jesus. Well, let me explain that a little bit more. Well, back in the beginning, before the fall into sin, Adam and Eve, the first human beings, they walked and talked with God freely in the garden. Imagine that for a moment, being able to walk and talk with God whenever you wanted. Free and easy communication with the Creator. That's a powerful and amazing thought, isn't it? But then, of course, that terrible thing happened, the fall into sin. And what was the first reaction of Adam and Eve after they had sinned? What was to go and hide themselves, wasn't it? They didn't want to communicate with God. They didn't even want to be seen by Him. They didn't want to have anything to do with God at all. But what did God do? Well, He called to them, didn't He? He initiated a conversation with Adam and Eve. And he promised them in that great passage, right, Genesis 3:15, very well-known, important verse of the Bible, that He would renew a relationship with His people through one who was to come. And this is where our Lord Jesus comes in, for He is that promised one. Jesus came and He died on the cross to defeat sin and to remove that barrier that stood between us and God. You know, for when we fell into sin, it was as if a door was slammed in our face and triple bolted. We had no access to God. But Jesus, He's changed all of that. And this is why we pray. Because Christ has made it possible for us to commune with God again. And so the primary reason that we want to talk with God and communion with Him now is to thank Him for this amazing gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, we saw this terrible flooding that was happening in Florida this week after the hurricane. The stories of people being rescued, right, lifted out of the waters. Well, how unthinkable would it be for those people not to thank their rescuers? Well, how much more then do we not want to thank our God for everything that He has given us in Jesus? You know, the psalmist in Psalm 116, which we also sang together, he expresses it so well, verse 12 and 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. We have so much to thank God for. This is why we pray. We confess that also in the Catechism in question answer 116, that prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. And that's because prayer is how we verbalize, how we put into words how much we are grateful to God for what He has done for us. But prayer is also more than this. It's also the main way that we now live in communion with God, together with studying and reading and hearing His word. See, when Jesus died, He didn't just forgive our sins, He also renewed the relationship with God for us. We become the children of God. We're part of God's family. And what's the sign of a healthy family relationship? Well, good communication is a key one, isn't it? You know, if a daughter never spoke to her father, well, I think many of us would find that concerning that there might be problems in that relationship. And just as communication is important in human relationships, so it's very important, crucial to our relationship with God. And we really, as God's people, need to understand this. Prayer is evidence of who Jesus is, of who God is to you. You know, a healthy prayer life, it points to a healthy relationship with your God, with your Savior. A healthy prayer life shows that we realize what God has done for us, and it shows that we want to live out the salvation that He has obtained for us. Because what happens? What happens when we aren't praying? When we aren't thanking and praising God for what He's done? What happens when we fail to spend time with Him consistently? Well, then we become in danger of being indifferent towards God. Become in danger of thinking that our relationship with Him is, it's not that big of a deal. It's not one of our priorities. You know, when we aren't spending time in prayer, well, God and church and the Christian life, it can quickly be even seen as unnecessary. And where does that leave us if we start to fall into that trap? Well, it leaves us on a road away from the kingdom of God. And so we need to recognize why we pray. We pray because in prayer we spend time with the One who is most important in our lives. Prayer gives us the opportunity to thank and to praise God for Jesus, and our prayers are evidence of our desire to know God and to love Him and to serve Him. Of having a relationship with God. But what about when you don't feel that relationship, when you don't feel that fellowship with God? What about in those times when you feel like God isn't listening to your prayers, when you feel like your prayers are one-directional? Well, does that mean that we can give up praying? You know, that's a hard situation to be in, and many Christians do find a time in their faith where they might have some of those feelings. But are our prayers based on what we feel? Now, that's an important question. And the answer is that prayer is not based on our feelings of closeness to God or how close we think He is to us. Prayer is something that God requires of us, that He wants of us, even in those moments where we might not feel like praying. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's God's will that we pray without ceasing, that we are regular, that we're committed in our prayer lives. And why does God want this of us? Why does He require prayer of us? Well, because He knows that it's through prayer, through this gift, that we are encouraged and we're strengthened for our continued walk with Him. Because you know, life is tough. And it's not only what happens in life to us, it's sometimes what we do as well. We can be very quick to backslide. Be tempted to go back into our sin and to our selfishness. That's why God wants us to pray, because He promises to give the strength of the Spirit to us when we call on him for help. Remember those beautiful words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 11, verse 13. He says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God will certainly give his Holy Spirit to those who pray to him and ask him for it. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he continues that great work of changing our hearts and our lives so that we love God, that we want to pray to him and want to serve him. So that's another reason why we pray, because God, he expects, he requires that of us. God has given prayer as the way for us to seek the continued work of the Holy Spirit. And so at those times when we don't feel like praying, well, that's actually the times that we need to pray. To pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, and he will be given. The Lord Jesus assures us of that in his word. He will be given, and he will renew our desire to follow Christ. So we've seen why we pray. We pray because of Jesus, what he's done for us, the relationship that he's restored with us and God, and because he commands this of us. And now we want to see how it is that we are to pray. It's the next question. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us that prayer needs to be, first of all, sincere. It needs to come from the heart. In verse 5, he says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And Jesus is describing here those hypocritical people in his day who prayed in the public places so that everybody else could see them and also hear them. And these people, they weren't praying in the synagogues and on the street corners because they were interested in talking to God. Not really. No, they were interested in themselves and in others hearing what great prayers they prayed, what good believers they were. Now, this is the first thing that we need to realize about how to pray. By these negative examples, our Lord Jesus is teaching us that prayer, it needs to be God-centered. It needs to be honoring to him, calling upon him, and sincere. Prayer is communication with God. It's time to live out that most important relationship that we have in our life. It's not time to show off how good of a believer you might think that you are. But Jesus goes on to tell us more here, because he explains that as our prayers need to be God-honoring and God-centered, well, that's why Jesus tells us to pray in an inner room, a place where we will not be interrupted, a place where we can pray sincerely to God, spending time in that key relationship. You know, if we answer a phone call in the living room and all the kids are shouting and running around, or if we're in the workshop and the machinery is going, well, then we go to a different place, don't we, and shut the door so we can answer that phone call and speak in quiet. We don't want that phone call to be interrupted. But how often don't we let our prayers get interrupted? But Jesus is telling us here that our prayers, they need to be God-centered and they need to be God-honoring. We need space and time where we can pray appropriately. And so if you haven't got a place and a time in your life where you can pray rightly, well, then we have to make that time. You know, our prayers don't only need to be God-centered, they also need to be prayed from a humble heart. The Lord Jesus says further in Matthew 6, verse 7, And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus is describing people here who thought that they could make God listen to them by how long they prayed, how many words they used, how loud they talked. But it's not quantity that God is looking for in our prayers. God hears our prayers not based on what we do or say in terms of repetition or really long prayer. No, he hears our prayers based on what Christ has done, based on the blood of Jesus. So we need the right attitude when we pray, an attitude of humility. This is also what we confess in question answer 117 of the Catechism. We must thoroughly know our need and our misery so that we can humble ourselves before God. So when we pray, we're not expecting anything from God because we deserve it, because of how good our prayers are. But we expect everything from God because of Christ and what he has done for us. And knowing this, knowing that our prayers are heard for Christ's sake, well, that gives us a boldness that we wouldn't otherwise have before God. For we don't only need to be God-centered and humble when we pray, we also have to pray in faith. And that means that we need to pray confident that God hears us, firm in the foundation of the blood of Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus says in John 14, verse 13 to 14, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We can have confidence to ask anything of our Father because we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of our Savior who has bought us and made us his own. Sometimes, though, I think sometimes we can pray a little too cautiously, can't we? We can pray as if expecting that God, well, he might not hear us. He might not answer us. We can think, oh, praying, it's not going to make that much of a difference, but I'll pray anyway, just in case. But no, that's not praying in the confidence that we have in Jesus. We come with confidence in the redeeming blood of Jesus when we pray. We can be absolutely certain that God will hear us for Jesus' sake. So sure, so complete has Christ's work been on our behalf. And what an encouragement this is when we think about it, isn't it? Encouragement for those times that we might be too upset, too distraught, too down to even string the right words together in a prayer. And yet God, he still hears. And he still answers. Even though our prayers might be incomplete or inadequate, God hears. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in Romans 8 verse 26, a beautiful verse. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Isn't that amazing grace, congregation? That we can have absolute certainty when we come in sincerity before God with believing hearts in prayer, that God will hear us for Christ's sake. For even the Spirit of Christ himself is working to perfect those prayers that we offer, praying the words that we might not even be able to form ourselves. Well, this then is how we are to pray, with humble and sincere hearts focused on God and firm in the blood of Jesus. But if this is how we are to pray, well then what are we exactly to pray about? And that's the last question that we want to consider together. In Luke 11, the Lord Jesus says, in Luke 11, verse 9 to 10, he says, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Well, Jesus' words here in Luke 11, they encourage us to come. To come and to ask. Well, what a beautiful gift prayer is. We're told to ask God for what we need, both physically and spiritually. This is also what we confess together in question answer 118. But what is it exactly that we need? I'm sure if I asked all of you individually, I'd get lots of different answers, right? So often what we need or what we think we need, well, it depends on where we are in life and what we're busy with. For example, when you get married and when you have your first child, suddenly your priorities in life change, don't they? Where you used to be able to just care about yourself and choose what you wanted to have for dinner on Friday night and where you wanted to go on Saturday, well, suddenly there's other people in your life you need to consider now. And so what you used to think mattered a lot might not matter so much anymore. And the same is true for the Christian life. You know, when we are born again, when we are made the children of God by Christ, well, suddenly our priorities in this life, they change, or they should do. You know, the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more time we spend in prayer with Him, the more that we begin to see that the next life and what it means actually matters much more than this one. You know, spiritual needs, the desire for growth in faith, the spread of the gospel throughout the world, the hunger for God's word, well, these all become much more of a priority. God becomes much more of a priority in our lives. More than our physical needs and our wants. His honor and His glory, they become top of our priority list. Before a better paying job, a healthier pair of lungs, and a bigger house. And I don't get me wrong, it's not to say that we can't pray about these things as well, these physical needs. It's not to say that they're not important, that we can't talk to God about them. But what we need to see is that as we grow in the Christian life, we come to realize that the things of God, they matter so much more and should have so much more priority. You know, what we pray for then is determined by what we are or who we are. And who are we? We are followers of Christ. And it's this that shapes our prayers. And we see this in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, don't we, in what's known as the Lord's Prayer. Because how does it open? It opens with praise to God, focused on His glory. It asks for the full accomplishment of His will and His kingdom to come. But it's only after these things that we are taught to turn and pray for ourselves. And so in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, He teaches us our right priorities. When we learn to pray our Lord's way, we come to see that what we need is also to live our Lord's way. Our priorities in this life are for God's glory, His honor, His praise. It's God first. It's always God first and everything else second. And so what are you praying about? What do your prayers, congregation, what do they say about you and your priorities? If you're a believer here and you don't pray at all, or you only recite a quick 2-minute prayer, the same every day, well, then this says a lot about where your heart is at, doesn't it? It says a lot about who is most important in your life. And maybe you pray sincerely, but your prayers are imbalanced. They lean much more towards your earthly wants and a lot less about God and His kingdom. Well, this also speaks volumes about where your heart is at, doesn't it? And we all have problems in our prayer life. We all fail. You know, I have to remind myself of this too. We all fail in this area, in this crucial area of our walk with God. But does this mean that we just give up on praying? Now, today again, we have an opportunity to encourage one another to prayer. Today we have an opportunity to commit again to changing our bad prayer habits, to realign our priorities. And we can do this, why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who's been given to us to change our lives, to help us in this very fact. And the gospel is so amazing. For we can be comforted that Jesus, He's also paid for all those times we failed in prayer and all those times we will do so in the future. And what a privilege, what a blessing it is to believe in Jesus' congregation. For He has restored our relationship with God so that we can fellowship with God again. Isn't that just incredible? Jesus has reopened the way of communication with our Creator. And we can pray to God anytime, all the time, and He will always listen. You know, our Lord Jesus has not only obtained the gift of prayer for us, He's also taught us why, how, and what we should pray. And so may we follow in the footsteps of our Savior, learning from Him and thanking God for Him. And let's spend time seeking our God in prayer. Amen.